Wake up. Man, the Niners really need to wake up. That was ugly.
Yeah, if you're looking for ugly, boy, if you found the right show, Damon Bruce and Larry Krueger with you. It is great to have you here for a wake up on Monday, October 27th. Larry, we've been forgetting to thank our sponsors in the beginning of the show way too often. So let's get that taken care of today. We know we got a very big crowd, probably a halfway angry crowd in here to get to. And we will talk about everything that didn't happen yesterday in Houston. It was a bad, bad day, but we appreciate everybody being here. It is Monday morning therapy here on Wake Up. It's great to have you. Please hit like and subscribe. And, you know, a big Fat Boy sandwich will make you feel a little bit better. Sometimes you have to eat your feelings, Larry. Check out Ike's. Go to the Dubliner. Maybe drink your feelings away. And, you know, here's how bad yesterday was, Larry. I went 0 for 4 on all four legs of my sleeper parlay.
I haven't
done that in a while. That's the golden sombrero of gambling.
That is rough. Well, if you're going to lose a parlay, that's the way to lose it. Seriously. Lose it in grand fashion. Thanks to, you know, some of the people in the chat, in the comments are like, you know, these commercials, screw you guys. And these commercials, it's like, guys, this is how I feed my family. This is how I support myself. So, you know, sorry, when you listen, you know, name me a platform that you can digest where you get no ads, you know, nothing, no hey, ads at all. Way.
It would take one $3 million super chat. And we'll never talk about this stuff again.
Well, and just, you know, big, you know, beyond that, I mean, obviously, yeah, that'd be great. But beyond that, I mean, it's just like you tune into 15 minutes of the radio, you're going to get 7 or 8 minutes of commercials. You tune into a half hour of television, you're going to get 7 or 8 minutes of commercials. We may give you 2 minutes max. So anyway, thanks to Pig and a Pickle for being the title sponsor of the Krug Show. They're in Emeryville. They're in Corte Madera. They're open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. till 8 p.m. or until they run out, and they do run out. So go say hi to Damon and Mary. Get some brisket chili. Tell them I sent you. Also, 49er football season on the Krug Show is presented by Sleeper all season long, the fastest growing fantasy platform in the entire world. It's a one-stop shop. You get blazing fast news, real-time stats, group chat, season-long leagues, and, of course, Sleeper picks for daily fantasy. Use promo code Larry. LARRY and Sleeper will match your first deposit up to $100. Links in the description. Terms and conditions do apply. All right. Was that really that painful?
I made it through it. I'm okay.
You're okay.
I'm okay.
We're all here. We made it through the other side of that laborious commercial break. No, but seriously, thanks to our sponsors for sponsoring us. Thanks to Damon's sponsors for sponsoring the Pluse. Thanks to my sponsors for sponsoring the Krug Show. And thanks to all of you for being here on a Monday. We know you have choices. You have all kinds of options just as it pertains to YouTube alone. So we appreciate every single one of you guys for being here. We appreciate the effort that you're making to get here.
I was about to say, imagine if every single time you went to walk outside, you had to dodge falling safes and pianos. Every step, like not a single casual, every time you went outside, you had to look out for safes and pianos. It is hailing safes and pianos on the 49ers. And we said on Friday, at least I said on Friday, I didn't really love their chances going to Houston. I could see how they could win, but I didn't love their chances to the point where if they lose and they lose bad and they look bad, I'm not going to be upset. We're not going to get angry about this one. Now, I still haven't rewatched the game. I plan on doing that this afternoon, and maybe I will get angry upon rewatch. But just as it washed over me, Larry, yes or no? Is that the worst first half of football Kyle Shanahan's ever had as a head coach? It felt like it, didn't it?
Well, I mean, you know, this is what happens when you go 3 and out and then the other team has a 10 plus play drive. And yep. Yeah, I mean, it was bad. I mean, it was bad every way you slice it.
How often are all three phases? Maybe the best phase for the 49ers yesterday was special teams. And there were even special teams mistakes.
I wouldn't even go there. I mean, they downed the ball. You're giving special teams the nod when on a day where they kicked no field goals and had a ball downed at the 1 yard line against
them. Wasn't good. Big return though. Big return. Yeah. I saw a big return at the end of that first half. Thank you very much. They didn't have a first down until the final drive of the first half, and everything that could go wrong did go wrong. And I haven't seen, You know, first of all, let's just start with this. Let's be grown-ups here. Congratulations to the Houston Texans. Like, that's a really good defense. That's a good defense. Does Will Anderson Jr. play like that every week? I mean, I don't go out of my way to see the Houston Texans unless I kind of have to. I had no idea Will Anderson Jr. was going to be a first ballot Hall of Fame player. Holy shit, he was unbelievable. And that's the 49ers, both their tackles got worked. Trent Williams and Colton McKivitz got worked yesterday. That is a prideful, well-coached D'Amico Houston defense, and they let their fangs bare.
I don't know if Trent got worked. I mean, Danielle Hunter got shut out. He didn't have a hit. He didn't have a sack. He was going against Trent. It was McKivitz that just got dominated, and he even admitted it after the game. McKivitz said afterwards, he's like, hey, man, I got worked. I got worked really good, and there's no question. Will Anderson had himself a day, and he did it all against Colton McKivitz, from what I could tell. But, yeah, I mean, it was just, you know, where do you start? I mean, you know, some people would say it starts with the offense, but, Damon, I look at it this way. Houston was allowing 14 points a game to opposing offenses. The Niners scored basically right there. They scored 15. I didn't think it was going to be high scoring. All my predictions for the Niners winning this game were like 17-9, 17-12. It wasn't, I didn't think they were going off. I just thought that I watched Houston's horrible offense last week, where you have Stroud's not seeing it. Their O-line can't protect. Their left side of their O-line really can't protect. They have a rookie running back, and they had two rookie receivers starting, or, you know, of their three receivers, two of them were rookies. So, I mean, you've got basically the worst offense known to man in the league. And what do the Niners do? I mean, this is the part that I just sit here, this, you know, and go, what were they thinking? It's like you have Upton Stout, Dima Lenore, Renardo Green. They're not the greatest corners, but they're better corners than Xavier Hutchins, Jalen Knoll, and Jaden Higgins are receivers, and they're faster than Hutchinson, Knoll, or Higgins. And it's like the game plan, I did a bunch of different previews where we're like, okay, what's the game plan? The game plan had to be hug up really, really, really tight on the coverage, suffocate them, and don't give them any room, and dare them to throw the ball over your head. Instead, the Niners came out and they blitzed more than they ever have, but they sat in a soft zone and allowed Stroud to complete like 23 of 28 in the first half.
Yeah.
I mean, he was just absolutely, every time he dropped back to pass, there were multiple guys wide open and the coverage was fucking soft. So, I mean, Robert Saleh was supposed to be a great defensive coordinator. The plan stunk. Or maybe the plan was not to play soft, but the execution of said plan stunk. Either way, it's like, why would you play super soft coverage against a team that has no real speed to go by you, and they have no offensive line to protect long enough to give the quarterback enough time to let them go by you? Why, you know, he's going to get rid of the ball quick. You knew that ball was coming out fast. And it came out fast all throughout the first half to receivers who were wide freaking open.
Right. I mean, it was pretty evident.
And they were busts, too. 50-yard pass play, 44-yard pass play, 30-yard pass play. I mean,
well, the 50-yard was just a check down, right? And yeah,
Woody Marks, I mean, Bethune, was that a bust? Was that on Bethune? Was that on Winters? It was hard to tell. It was on one of those two guys. It was either on Bethune, who got wired inside, or, you know, when Marks faked that he was going to block inside, Bethune decided he was not going out in the pattern. Maybe, I think that was Bethune's guy. But he got the ball on the sidelines, and it was like, there's nobody there. Oh, and there he goes. And that's 10 yards, 20-yard gain, 30-yard gain, 40-yard, 50-yard gain, 50-yard gain for Woody Marks.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they had, on paper, they had no pass rush. And so I was hoping, you know what, they're going to try to, can they dial up some blitzes? Well, they did dial up a bunch of blitzes, but the coverage was so soft. It's like, if you're going to dial up blitzes, you got to tighten that coverage because the ball's coming out right now. And instead they just had a bunch of really easy underneath receptions all fucking day. Well, it was unbelievably maddening to watch that.
It seemed the Texan game plan, too, was perfect, was designed to take advantage of the fact that, all right, they're going to play a little soft. They're in bend, don't break every day. So we're just going to bend. And every single time a third down came up, it felt like they converted it. And unfortunately, the Niners couldn't get off the field on third down. And it's just that simple. Look, you know, everything that you just said about the game plan, about the soft coverage, Larry, you are spot on, correct on all of it. At the same time, you don't even need to go there with any of that because it is simpler than that. When a team is absolutely stretched to its physical limitations while failing to execute against a really good defense on the road, you're in trouble. That's it. Like, that's just, there's some football truths that no amount of coaching is going to overcome. And the 49ers got beat in the trenches. They lost on third down offensively. They lost on third down defensively. And it's just one of those days. Larry, burn the tape. I don't think there's a teaching. That was bad. That was bad. Let's not talk of it again. I think you got a winnable game in New York against an NFC team next week. The choice to split these two, you take the NFC team over the AFC team every day. Yesterday was officially a weird day in the NFL. It was blowout city all around the league, and the Niners were on the wrong side of a bad performance. And I think you got to just kind of sweep this one under the rug and move on as quickly as you can. And hopefully John Lynch does something and pulls a trigger to make this team a little bit better.
That's the question. You know, when you were watching the Niners win the time of possession, sometimes decisively, you're thinking to yourself, wow, that looks really good. And then I always think to myself, what would the Niners look like if they had that done to them? And we got the answer. They got beat on the time of possession 41-22 to 18-38. And doubled you up. Saw what it looks like. I mean, it was ugly. I mean, the 49ers ran for 4-8. I mean, it's usually football's about who runs the ball, who stops the run. The Niners ran for 4-8 a carry. They only allowed 4-4 a carry. It wasn't disaster either way. It wasn't like they've lost games because of turnovers. They didn't lose games because of turnovers. They just had no sustainability at all on offense. 30
more plays.
They had no sustainability at all on offense, and eventually their defense caved in the second half. And it's like, I got all these people sending me notes saying cut Jair Brown. And it's funny because Jair Brown had three or four of the best plays the defense had all day. He had the big tackle for a loss in the backfield on whoever that was it on Marks or Chubb? He had a great tackle for a loss in the backfield. Yep. The Niners only had three of them all day. So it's pretty easy to remember his tackle in the backfield. But yeah, I mean, seriously, between one tackle in the backfield for Mustafa, one tackle in the backfield from Jair Brown, one pass defense from Kalia Davis, one quarterback hit from Alfred Collins. I mean, they had nothing. They literally one quarterback hit for Sam Aquinu and one INT from Demo Lenore. The rest of it was a freaking tire fire. Yeah, throw away the tape, but learn from it first because, this Houston, I mean, here's the other thing, too. It's like, well, the Rams had a good D and, you know, Atlanta had a good D, but Houston's D just looked amazing. And outside of their defensive ends, Aziz and their defensive backs, I mean, it's kind of a no-name defensive line. MJ Stewart and British Brooks and, you know, Derek Barnett, who's been around, but Henry Toa Toa. And I mean, you know, it's like, Tommy Toe Guy. And I mean, it's like, they got it done. I mean, I'll give them credit. Their defense was awesome.
Well, and here's the thing, Larry, you know, you can't.
Not a star-studded front. I mean, it was basically Will Anderson just abusing Colton McKivitz repeatedly.
I think there was an awful lot of institutional knowledge that D'Amico put on the field in terms of how to just screw with the Niners. You know, he knows how to coach against Shanahan. I think he knows how to play against Robert Saleh. Those three guys have had a billion football conversations. I don't think they hide anything from anyone. They know what each other's going to do. And DeMeco just had the healthier, better team at home. And I'll tell you, if you really want to get the best out of a football team, tell them they ain't shit for like 3 weeks in a row. And it has been rough on the Texans. Like, the Texans have been absolutely overlooked. They were supposed to be something this year. They got off to a bad start. They've been crapped on. Their offensive line has been made fun of all season long. They got smacked up in Seattle. Dude, DeMeco's got some pride, man. And they did. Give him credit. I mean, they circled their wagons against the Niners, and the Niners just gave them an easy team to circle their wagons against. Again, they knew the game plan. They were all over it, and the 49ers are ridiculously banged up. Like, it's stupid. I don't even think the team took a charter flight. I think the team travels by ambulance. That's how banged up the 49ers are.
Here comes a series of ambulances instead of the team bus.
Exactly. It's like a flotilla of ambulance.
I'll say the number one thing. If you said, give me the number one thing that stood out. I thought the number one thing that stood out was how horrible the 49ers tackling was. I mean, their D line at times got some push, and the running back, whether it be Chubb or Marks, was like 3 yards in the backfield, and his forward progress has been halted, and nobody's there to wrap him up. So then he moves a little bit to the side and then runs for 3 more yards, or runs for 5 more yards, or runs for 8 more yards. The incredible poor tackling. I mean, it was ironic as hell when I looked at the box score and I saw the tackle totals for the Niners, and you're like, whoa, Tatum Bethune had 14 tackles. Malik Mustafa had 12. D. Winters had 11. Upton Stout had 9. A lot of tackles. Whoa. And then you're sitting there going, when you watch the film, you're like, this was a horrible, horrible tackling effort. So I don't want to make excuses for the Niners, but Damon, I've watched a lot of football, and to me, when I see tackling that's this bad, it generally means fatigue. Like, when you're falling off tackles that you're normally making, you're getting tired. When a defense is not making tackles that it would normally make, they just were tired. And is it possible that the 49ers, who have a very late bye this year, week 14, and have played some really tough games the last few weeks, and especially without their stars, have circled the wagons, and now, you know, they've overachieved, they've played better than they could, and now they're getting their reality check. Now it's the reality setting in. No Bosa, no Warner, no Huff. I mean, those are basically your three best defensive players. You had three dominant players in your front seven: Fred Warner, Nick Bosa, Bryce Huff, and now you have zero. And I just thought the combination of the soft zones and the poor tackling, to me, I just chalked it up. But when I watched it again, I thought, this 49er defense looks fucking gassed. They look really tired. Now, I'm not saying the offense looks tired, but defensively, they look spent. Now, I don't know that they are, but that's what it looks like to me.
I mean, maybe you get tired and you look tired in a game where you can't get off the field, right? I mean, how could a defense not be tired? You got tired out in the first quarter in that game. You were on the field for 12 and a half minutes of a 15-minute quarter.
They look tired from the start, though. Like, they're tackling on the first, like, if you go back to my notes in the first couple series, there were some odd runs where it looked like, man, the Niners have this guy. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, he got 8. Oh, he got 9. You know, it's like, so they looked fatigued. They looked tired. We'll see.
What did they do really, really well against Atlanta? I thought they tackled everybody where they met them. The tackling ran was the really good well. In the Falcons game. The Falcons game, they were able to control the line of scrimmage in that game, and they tackled everybody where they met them. And it was the total opposite today. And whether it be the cumulative fatigue of all the pressures of the early season or just the in-game fatigue because you're not getting off the field, again, the whole thing was bad. And I think the more you look at it, I don't know how much more you're going to understand about it. That's why I'm saying burn the freaking tape, man. That was bad. Vic Tafer, you know, he tweeted out. He's like, the offense didn't have a first down on 6 of its 9 possessions. The defense blew coverages on third downs all day. And yeah, not having Nick Bosa, Fred Warner, and Bryce Huff didn't help. The 49ers never sacked C.J. Stroud and touched him only twice. If you if you've watched Houston all year, C.J. Stroud gets touched every other play in every other game he's played. I mean, that's how just uncompetitive the Niners were at the line of scrimmage. The Niners defensive line made an objectively bad offensive line look good.
Well, it's all about pressure. It's all about pressure. Listen to these numbers on pressure. This Kev dug these up last night. Mac Jones was pressured on 50% of his snaps, which is a high.
that's a big number, Larry.
A high number. In those snaps, he went 4 of 13 for 64 yards and an interception when pressured. The 49ers produced, or I should say, the 49ers pressured Stroud. C.J. Stroud, I should say.
Not at all.
24.4% of his dropbacks.
Bullshit. Sometimes numbers lie. He was not under pressure. But
they blitzed him. They blitzed him on 33% of his snaps, which is the highest blitz rate all year, which is what you would think, right? You have no Huff. You have no Bosa. The Niners have been blitzing right around 20%. Without Bosa, a few years ago, they blitzed, I think, 35%. Well, sure enough, 33% blitz rate in this game. Without the blitz, Stroud was pressured at a 7% pressure rate. So Jones was pressured at a 50% pressure rate. The Niners pressured Stroud 24.4% of the time, but they blitzed him the highest percentage they have all year. And without the blitz, when they did not blitz, 7% pressure rate. They had no pressure at all except for blitzing. So now the question is, what do you do? What do you do? Some people today are saying this team's so bad that John Lynch shouldn't do anything. I get that. I understand that. And other people are saying John Lynch needs to do this. I mean, some of the people who cover the team, guys like Matt Barrows, Matt Maiocco, guys who are not usually the type of guys who say the Niners need to do this, the Niners need to do that. Last night, we're saying the Niners need to get pass rush. John Lynch needs to trade for a pass rusher. So what is it? I mean, are the Niners cooked? No Warner, no Bosa, it ain't their year. They should tuck tail, pack it in, play out the schedule, but don't make any trades? Are the Niners in a mode where they absolutely are in it and should make a trade and try to overcome their weaknesses? And then within that whole decision, there's another decision, which is what, right? Okay. If you're going to make a trade, if you're not going to make a trade, you got to cross that bridge. Once you've crossed that bridge, then it's a matter of what exactly do you do to this team to try to get them going?
I would try, as you said,
it's a wide open league. So there's more than one option here. And that's why we're here this morning, is to debate that, I think, more than anything. Because you're right, Damon. We should throw away the tape, burn the tape. I mean, obviously, Shanahan and the players are going to watch it. They're going to do what they always do. But, man, they're going to try to swim technique this thing and get down the road, Damon. They're going to try to make sure they forget about this as fast as possible. So let's forget about this for a moment and just get to it's Monday morning deadline week. Where do you want John Lynch to go? Do you want John to be like, no, hang up the phone, John. Go to Cabo. Don't make any trades. Retain all your picks. Make no moves. Or are you in that camp that says make this particular move, or do you have more of a philosophical approach of how you want them to proceed? But that's, I think, what I'd love to hear from the fans and you today is like, what do you think is the best plan? Because I think it is debatable. I think it's a pretty healthy, open debate, really. I think it's one that's worth having.
I think Trey Hendrickson was a scratch yesterday for Cincinnati, and everyone was like, ooh, what's going on there? I don't know. It's probably not going to be
an injury, I think.
Yeah, here's the deal, Larry. I am not going out of my way to sell off a part of the future, especially as I'm evaluating what I'm looking at internally. You'll need all of your draft picks next year to become a younger, better football team. You know, I think you're drafting two tackles, a center. You need more defensive linemen, even though you're the team that only drafts defensive linemen. You're going to need a running back eventually. You're going to need a wide receiver. You're going to need a corner. You're going to need a, I mean, like, the Niners are going to have needs, so they shouldn't give away too much. But we keep returning to the same names that come at reasonable cost. Arden Key, Bradley Chubb, Jermaine Johnson. These players are not a huge mortgage the future moves to attain. I don't think they are. So that's, I think, a direction you go in. And if the argument to not do anything is, well, what is one defensive end going to do? Well, look, you don't have one defensive end. You are getting Bryce Huff back. Bryce Huff is a good player. I would put a good player across from him, and I would ask this young defensive line and young players everywhere, guys, just keep improving. Here's the reality. There's not a lot to love except what could be your record after next week. Dude, that Cam Scataboo injury sucks, man. That's, I feel so bad for him. I don't want to see it again. That's terrible. But it benefits the 49ers' chances to go win that game greatly. There's a very good chance, Larry, after next week, the 49ers are 6-3. And knowing everything you know about this team, if I walked up to you in a dark alley and said, I'm selling you 6-3 right now, you buying it? Fuck yeah, you are. 6-3 through 9 weeks under the circumstances this team has played the first 9 weeks under is house money. Giving up on this season is ridiculous. I don't want to hear another word about it. There's the 85 Bears ain't out there looking to just stomp you. This is not a great league in any. A pretty good football team will be your Super Bowl champion. That's it. Pretty good. The Niners.
And there is no such thing as giving up, really.
No, right? There's no. Yeah, no, exactly.
I mean, who
no
does that?
Management.
Is there any? Name me the team that ever gave up in the NFL before. They give up when they're dead. But nobody gives up while dying.
Yeah.
In baseball or basketball, teams will give up sometimes in the midst of dying. But baseball, in football, nobody gives up until they're literally about to lower the coffin into the ground.
Yeah. No, look, Kenny is here, and I love Kenny. Kenny's a great football fan. Kenny Power says, we were supposed to win yesterday, Damon. No, you weren't.
You were underdogs.
I thought you could, but I thought there was a lot more things that equal you're in trouble today than you're sitting pretty today as we were evaluating the game walking into it all last week. You know, the Niners did have some chances, some breaks that they went their way to maybe have won that game. They have gotten away with some football murder this season to go into Houston with that record that they've had. Football police caught up with the 49ers yesterday. They didn't get away with murder. And I just think that, and we said this last week too, it is insane to say Fred Warner and Nick Bosa are done for the year, but you still could be getting healthier as the year goes along. That is still out there. Brandon Ayuk, still out there coming. You know, Brock Purdy, eventually, still out there. He's coming. And you know what? Here's the thing. Does everyone just want to be angry today? It feels like that. Everyone wants to be a little bit angry.
No, I just think I just think that it's hard to say you're in it when you just got trounced the way they got trounced.
Right. It was 1 week of football has nothing to do with the next week of football. Everywhere. Look across this league. The Falcons look like world beaters. They beat the freaking Bills. Then they get smacked by the Niners and they lose to the Dolphins. I mean, who you are this week means absolutely nothing to next week's game. Nothing at all. It's irrelevant.
You know, this game was Houston by 1.5. Then it went to Houston by 2.5. On game day, it went to Houston by 3.5. So somebody knew something. And it played out that way. I've been watching football a long time. Nobody goes undefeated. You know, the Niners have lost some games here, but it's not that they've lost. It's kind of what it looks like, and to get that dominated, and
it was bad.
And you're sitting there and you're watching your offensive line. Okay, your starting quarterback's out. Your offensive line is getting whipped. Your receivers, no, I don't like the receivers anymore.
Well, and, I'm going to tell you right now, dude.
And the pass rush was nothing. And then you got a bunch of young defensive players who are having a good play, a bad play, a good play, a breakdown, a great play, a bad play, a good play, a breakdown. You know, it's like you just there's a lot of inconsistency with this young defense. And then special teams is always kind of a circus. But go ahead. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, if you do want to be mad at one person, be mad at the guy who told you how great he was and then decided to not even play this. Dude, Juwan Jennings, goodbye. Like, dude, you're not even a $3 million a year wide receiver. You think you're a $20 million a year wide receiver? Holy shit, brother. You're on the edge of a football team. You don't even belong on this team anymore. Juwan Jennings went from beloved and serviceable to get out of here. You're a fraud. And if you don't believe me.
What, on the drop deep ball you're talking about?
Not just that, Larry. It's more than just that. It's everything. And that drop deep ball was awful. It hit him in the hands. But.
Would have been a nice catch, but yeah.
It would have been, exactly. I mean, it was, I would.
It was over his head and everything, yeah.
We're not catching it, but we're not
wide receiver. Well, but I mean, no. I mean, the rule of a wide receiver play is if it hits your hands, you got to catch it.
Yeah. Hit his Josh Dubow spells it all out.
What did he say?
112 players have 25 or more targets this season. The 38 passer rating for 49ers when they target Jennings ranks 110th in football. That basically, Juwan Jennings fits into his offense, the 110th best in football. And the rating that you get for throwing the ball in the dirt on every play would be 39.6. Niners have a 38 passer rating throwing to Juwan Jennings.
Well, it's clear that
catches of dirt are having whatever, better new seasons than Juwan Jennings.
Whatever vibe Mac Jones has with Bourne, he doesn't have it with JJ. And no. I don't know why. I don't know what the deal is, but just I'm looking at the Niner receivers and I'm going, God, they're just so thoroughly mediocre. I mean, there's just nobody at all scares you. I mean, the Texans receivers yesterday were young, but Jalen Knoll is a big play guy, and he made a 44-yard pass play. You know, the Niners receivers, Jennings, 4-7 guy, Kendrick Bourne on the tail end of his career, Jordan Watkins is going to have a nice career, but he's a rookie playing in his first game, DeMarcus Robinson.
I like how they don't even go to Jordan Watkins until the final play of the game when you need it the most. Like, I mean, dude. Good.
I know. I mean, some of those plays down the field that went to other guys probably should have gone to him.
And look.
But, I mean, DeMarcus Robinson, they took a shot down the field to Sky freaking Moore. It's like that should have gone to Jordan Watkins. What are you doing? Sky Moore should be a return man only. And so that was disappointing. But, I mean, look at those receivers. Sky Moore, DeMarcus Robinson, Jordan Watkins, Kendrick Bourne, and Juwan Jennings. I mean, that's, you know, you had MVS before. I mean, he's.
Look at it this way. Suppose you're playing fantasy football, and those are the wide receivers you're going against in fantasy football. Don't you think, like, oh,
you're winning
this week. Good. I mean, that's.
You got to have somebody, man. You got to have somebody.
Well, there's somebodies who are all hurt. So here is one, you know, as we're going to let the team sort of off the hook for this one, come back to fight another day. There's still a lot of football left in this season, blah, 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 blah. Why is it? Every time I watch a game, there is clearly this guy is having a day, or this guy is a huge part of the game plan and he's being targeted 15 times. You know, everybody knows that Flacco is going to Ja'Marr Chase and every single defensive coverage is built around that. Yet he still goes to Ja'Marr 15 times in a game. How come the 49ers can't like prioritize and target George Kittle? How come the 49ers can't like it? It seems like the minute they get
he led them in receptions.
Oh, I know, but it feels like he's an afterthought, even though he's been back. And I understand he did a great job blocking last week, but it just feels like Shanahan and his offense doesn't really know how to feed the beast. When I thought drawing guys open, no matter what the coverage was sort of the specialty.
I know. This is a ridiculous thing. I've gotten into this with Shanahan in the past. I questioned him at the end of the first Super Bowl why Debo Samuel, who is literally the betting MVP at halftime, only got two touches in the second half. And he proceeded to say to me, well, that's not really how it works. And I said, it's not really how it works? That's interesting. So you're saying that when the Rams beat you in the fourth quarter of the NFC Championship game in 23 or whatever year it was, and they went to Cooper Kupp repeatedly, right, that was just that was all good fortune. That was all good fortune on their part, because that's not how it works. I mean, you can't try to get the ball to your best guy. What? I mean, the Rams somehow got Cooper Kupp with the money on the table. They somehow found a way to get the ball from Stafford to Cooper Kupp, but the Niners couldn't get Debo involved in the Super Bowl when he was awesome in the first half. They couldn't give him more than two touches. So Shanahan acts like, you know, it's totally in the stars as far as who gets the ball and when, and it's like it has nothing to do with anything. He has no control over it, and nobody has any control over it. It's just what a defense, how a defense defends you, and where you should, you know, it's like that's so mysterious because other teams go to their. It's funny. Mahomes had no problem finding Tyreek Hill in the fourth quarter. Stafford had no problem finding Cooper Kupp in the fourth quarter. But you can't get the ball to your guys in the fourth quarter or in the second half. I mean, it's such a flimsy excuse. It's like, well, that's not how it works. I get it. You don't come out of the play, out of the huddle saying, we're calling, you know, the Juwan Jennings play. We're calling the Jordan Watkins play. I get it. There's multiple receivers in a pattern, but you can also put, you know, a receiver in a certain spot and have him calling the play, knowing that he's going to be the first look. And it just, there are ways to scheme your receivers into catches. And it's just like, nope. But I mean, they don't even have a receiver that's worth that. I mean, Kittle at this point is like, you know, so what, you can't get the ball to old Kittle. Your tight end coming off of multiple injuries has to be your featured guy. I mean, you know, I mean, you threw him five balls, he caught four, and he got one of them was a touchdown. So, I mean, I hear what you're saying, though. Why do the 49ers not have a go-to, you know, receiver when it seems like every team they play does?
Well, and it really does seem like every other team that drafts a wide receiver they think could do a little something to help them out this year, they get on the field sometime before, what week was this? Was this week eight?
This was week eight, yeah.
And I understand there have been some injuries along the way, but the amount of slow playing into wide receivers means that they're always developing wide receivers is something the Niners are not very good at. I mean, have we got enough evidence to say it ain't working in a lot of, who isn't Jacob Cowing on this team?
Yeah, Jacob Cowing. I mean, you and I have contributed as much as Jacob Cowing.
But that's the thing. They're all Jacob Cowings. We got a room full of Jacob Cowings. None of you really matter. Maybe Ricky Pearsall will. Brandon Ayuk, come back quickly. This team needs
Say anything about Pearsall because Niner fans get so butthurt when I give them reality on Ricky Pearsall, which is that he's fucking glass. He's fucking glass. He's hurt all the time. He hasn't played for weeks. I mean, what was the injury?
Right. What was the injury?
A knee bruise?
That bruised knee.
He hasn't played for weeks. Weeks.
By the one, what is this? B1 Yonsei Blow 420. That's a lot going on there. Says Damon obsessed with being 6-3 and really thinking they are contenders on this team on paper. It's a joke. We would be a fake 6-3 team.
You're not 6-3.
So no, that would be next week with the win. You know, with a win in New York, you'll be 6-3 through 9 weeks.
I'm not putting next week down as a win. You just got your offensive line just got whipped.
Yeah,
but a line that's not as good as the line that you're probably going to face next week.
Maybe. But again, it's Jackson Dart and good luck. I mean, so.
Yeah, but I mean, it's Dexter Lawrence. It's Abdul Carter. It's Brian Burns.
Here's the thing.
Kayvon Thibodeau. These guys have good defensive linemen.
Here's the thing. But if they don't lose, they will be 6-3. Right. And there's a lot of talk of contenders.
They're in it right now. They won games early.
You cannot play a playoff game in the regular season. You got to get there. That's what this is about right now. We ain't measuring contenders. You're just building a resume. That's all this is. The regular season builds a resume to get enough wins to go play in the real season and then take your shot when you get there. I've watched enough 49er football to know that on any day, they can come up and give you a real good puncher's chance, even with all their problems. And apparently getting curb stomped is out there too, because that's what happened this past Sunday. And it's the first time they've been curb stomped in a real long time. You know, the Niners don't lose like this often. They don't. That was capital B-A-D, burn the tape, bad. It was awful. I don't think they're going to have two that bad, that awful games in a row. I don't. I think they're better than that. Even as they're terrible, they're better than that.
Are they? Are they better than that?
I don't know. Well, here's the thing.
Are they? I mean, really?
It doesn't matter if you
49ers,
are.
The 49ers are, I mean, let's take a look at this and be real about this for a second.
Here's the deal. That game is kicking off at 10 a.m. on Sunday, no matter what you are.
The 49ers are 5-3, and they're -4 in point differential. You could argue that they're not as good as their record.
No, they're not. They're not.
But 5-3, -4.
They don't have to be better than the record right now. All they need to be is their record right now.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, you know, are they better than their record or worse than their record? Well, -4 tells you that they were fortunate to win the games that they won, and they may be worse than their record. They're 3-0 in the division. You know, they're 5-1 in the conference, so they're positioned nicely still, but they've got the lowest point differential in their division at -4.
And they've gotten away with some football murder.
They got the same point differential as Dallas. I mean, think about that.
How about this isn't the way you draw it up. This isn't what you want, but this is what you got. And unfortunately, you know, the Niners have painted themselves into this corner. We'll see if they can get out of it. I mean, they're a middling football team. They're a middle of the pack football team with a better record. And hopefully they'll be a little bit better than just in the middle. If they could get a little healthier, if they make the right trade. And if you are a playoff team this year, guess what? You're a contender, whether you want to admit it or not. Well, they're not really a contender. Okay. Well, you know, they're in the playoffs, which means maybe you're wrong. Maybe
the Niners have to do something about their D line. If they're gonna pretend that they're, you know, that they got a shot, and right, you know, and I say pretend because today is so depressing. When you get beat like that, it's like, are you really a contender? It doesn't feel like it. The Niners are on pace for 19 sacks for the season as a fucking team. Nick Bosa had 18.5 by himself 3 years ago.
Myles Garrett had 5 yesterday.
The Houston offensive line came into this game ranked 30th in pass block win rate, but the Niners are worse as a pass rush team, ranking 31st with 9 sacks on pace for 19. I mean, you know, Stroud, who last week against Seattle completed 46.9% of his passes, had a 76.9 completion percentage to go along with 318 yards and 2 touchdowns. And that's without playing with his top 2 receivers. No Nico Collins, no Christian Kirk. I mean, it's like they were absolutely horseshit. Absolutely horseshit.
But then
John Lynch has gone on and on. And when he went on KMBR last week, he's like bending over backwards. He's doing like gymnastics in his office to tell Murph and Mac that the Niners do not, they've been making phone calls, but they don't need to make a trade. And this was the exact quote from him on KMBR last week. We've got plenty in this building. Really? You couldn't produce anything at all. You're on pace for 19 sacks. You're a horrible pass rush right now that's getting worse because Sam Aquinu went down. Jordan Elliott went down. I mean, these guys went down. D. Winters left with an injury. So they're losing even more firepower. And then Mikel Williams, what would you say you do here? Travis Gibson, Robert Beal Jr. I mean, none of those guys sniffed a sack or a hit on the quarterback yesterday.
That should be the nickname of their, you know, really good defensive lines. You know, the purple people eaters, the four man front.
Right. What are you calling it?
The Robert Beal Juniors. That should be the 49ers defensive nickname. They're the Robert Beal Juniors up front. Just,
yeah.
What do you do here? Do you do anything? Because I've been hearing about
it should be called Nick Bosa, Bryce Huff, and the Huffettes. I mean, it's like literally the rest of you guys, what would you say you do here? You know, so I mean, it's just there's other guys out there that they could trade for, but it's
because you're a practice all the time. You go watch more football practice than I would. Than any company could ever pay me to do. I don't like watching football practice. I watch football games, okay? When you're watching football practice, does Nick Martin run around with his pants on backwards and his helmet sideways, looking out an eye hole and decide to go spend most of his afternoon at Great America? Does he play? Is Nick Martin the biggest fucking buffoon you've ever seen in practice, that incapable of playing to where he hasn't dressed yet this year with all of these problems? Because if he is that bad, then we got to talk about the draft picks that you guys are making. And if he is not that bad, we got to talk about how you're grooming guys to get ready. Where is he? Where is that guy?
Yeah, I mean, seriously. Now it's pretty clear that you're like putting anybody, you're not going to play Nick Martin until you absolutely have to. That's what's clear at this point. They're not going to put Nick Martin on the field till they absolutely have to.
Okay. And then
the question has to be asked, is your third round draft choice a bust? Because where is he? You need him and he's not out there. He can rush the passer and you're not utilizing him.
Jake Moody.
But, I mean, why is lifetime special teamer Curtis Robinson playing over Nick Martin? Why? Why is Luke Gifford playing over Nick Martin? You invested your third-round draft choice in Nick Martin. Can he not play? Is he not good? I mean, what are you telling us that he can't play and he's not good? I mean, what's the deal?
Right.
Where is he?
Is he the Isaac Guerrero of your defense? Just drafted guy you refuse to let play?
I mean, obviously they don't feel like he can play. I don't know why, because he was awfully good at Oklahoma State.
Well, I guess that's how bad is it? Because when I've seen Nick Martin, it's looked pretty good. You know, maybe he's made some errors of aggression where he's overrun plays in the preseason. I how about this? I would love to see a 49er overrun a play. That means they're trying to make a play. You got guys letting plays come to them, much less running at them defensively. So I think that there's a who on this team is preventing Nick Martin from hitting the field?
Curtis Robinson. I mean, you know, basically any linebacker that's playing is playing over him right now. Luke Gifford and Curtis Robinson are playing from scrimmage over Nick Martin. So, I mean, here's one of those things. It's like, you know, you don't want to put them out there. That's fine. But there ain't nowhere to hide. So the questions are going to come. You know, it's like you either didn't draft well or you can't coach well or you're playing the wrong guys. Because I'll say who it's not on. It ain't on me. It ain't on Damon. It ain't on any of you guys in the chat. It's not my fault that they picked these guys. It's not my fault that they play these guys. It's not my fault they couldn't reach the quarterback.
It might be their fault that they specifically didn't watch your Don't Draft Mikel Williams video. Maybe it is your fault, Larry. Maybe it's the algorithm's fault.
Mikel Williams, another guy. I can't say anything critical about Mikel Williams. Otherwise, all the 99er fans get all upset, all butthurt. Dude. How about this? I mean, you had people falling over themselves telling you how great he was, I see some good attributes, but eventually you got to produce, right?
Eventually,
you got to hit the quarterback. Eventually, you got to sack the quarterback. You're a defensive end. There is no such thing as I'm a great defensive end that doesn't sack the quarterback.
Right.
I'm a great defensive end that makes three tackles a game. I'm a great defensive end. I just don't ever have a TFL, a quarterback hit, a pressure, a sack. You see what I'm saying? And there's lots of people who love to tell me in my chat that Shamar Stewart's not good. Is he any worse than this guy? I mean, neither guy's producing a whole lot, but it wasn't like I was jumping up and down on the table saying they have to take Shamar Stewart at 11. If you remember the lead up into the draft, I was like, hey, think outside the box. There's a lot of great players here. We talked about Tyler Warren. We talked about Tyler Booker. We talked about Jadai Barron. You know, all those guys went after Mikel. We talked a lot about
the better idea
Walter Nolan. Plan. We talked about Kenneth Grant.
The better idea was my plan. Why don't you take like three draft picks that you're just going to blow on guys who you will not play, Kyle? Because by the way, I know you, Kyle. I call you out on this every year, and you do it every year. You do not play the guys you draft. If you are drafted to be a wide receiver or a running back on the 49ers, you're fucked. I mean, it's just, you're not playing. So package those picks, move up and get Armand Membu. That's what you should have done.
Or just take Gray Zabel. I mean, Zabel went, or take an offensive lineman. God knows you need an offensive lineman. I mean, to me, the safest pick was to go with Jadai Barron. He was the Thorpe Award winner. He was the great corner. He went to Denver at 20. I'm a believer in college football. I would take the best players in college football. So I like Jadai Barron. I like Jaylon Walker, who won the Butkus Award, went to the Falcons at 15. I like Tyler Warren, won the Mackey Award. He was the best tight end in the country. He went to the Colts at 14. I mean, how much better would the Niners be right now if they had Tyler Warren? You know, even with the good performance of Tongis, they'd be better.
Did he steal a touchdown from Kittle yesterday? Was Tongis the target there, or did he pluck it before it got to Kittle?
No. It was going. No, it wasn't. Max pretty accurate. It was going to Tongis.
Yeah,
it was going to Tongis.
Nice catch. Look,
Mac Jones played great. He played fine.
The office. The guy's given everything you could ever ask him to do. It was just a weird week. It was a bad week for the Niners. It was a weird week around the league. And I talked about this on Friday with Sammy. Week 8 is like your natural halfway point in a football season, at least it used to be. And this is where some separation starts to occur. And look at what happened this weekend. All but one of Sunday's games decided by double digits. Cream starts to rise. And it's, you know, the 49ers ain't the cream right now.
By the way, the job just got tougher as we speak, because the Titans, as we are sitting here, are trading Roger McCreary, who I was suggesting the other day that the Niners ought to go for Arden Key and Roger McCreary.
That's right. You wanted McCreary's, a package deal.
I wanted a package deal. The Titans are sending McCreary to the Rams for a conditional fifth and sixth round pick swap. Now, this shows how the marketplace on trades is super low. This guy's a starting caliber NFL corner, and it sounds like the Rams are sending basically their fifth round pick to the Titans for McCreary and the Titans' sixth round pick. So the Titans only moved up from the sixth round to the fifth round for Roger McCreary. They didn't even give a pick. They just moved from the sixth to the fifth. So that in a way is a good indication if you're a 49er fan, because it really shows that the price tag for a lot of these players in trades is far lower than a lot of us would think. Might be able to get a good player for relatively cheap.
Credit the Rams for being aggressive. Credit the Rams for jumping on this. You know, here's the thing. The Rams smell blood in the water after the Niners this weekend, don't they?
Well, they might, or they just may say, hey, everything's freaking wide open, which is, it is. The NFC is wide open for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what approach should the Niners take at the trade deadline? As far as I'm concerned, I think what they ought to do is, try to pick off a young player that's not a pending free agent this year that you're going to have on your team next year. And just keep building. It doesn't, you don't make a trade because you have to somehow get a certain piece for this year. And then other people are like, well, they're out of it. Don't make a trade. Well, first of all, they're not out of it.
Right.
I don't think I would be trading draft capital, you know, day one or day two draft capital if I could avoid it, unless I was getting a great player. But I mean, the according to the reports, the Jets are listening to offers for Quinn and Williams. I'm absolutely calling on Quinn and Williams if I'm the 49ers. The first Jaguars rounder, are listening you're gonna get, to you're Brian. Have to
give a first rounder for Quinn and Williams. He
ain't no, going for a no, button. No, he's not going for a first rounder. He's not going for a first rounder.
I mean, he's
going
to go for a second rounder then, Larry. I mean, he's not that you are. If they're trading Quinn and Williams for a second rounder, the Niners should be there today.
They are supposedly. Supposedly they're offering it. Supposedly it's Quinn and Williams for a second round pick. But my whole point is, the Jets have, you know, I would give them a second round pick and then something if I could get a Quinn and Williams and something else. Michael Clemens. How about Quinn and Williams and his brother? How about Quinn and Williams and Quincy Williams? You know, and you get the linebacker to help you for the present, and you get the defensive tackle. My whole point is this. I would not just like I wouldn't trade a fourth round pick for Bradley Chubb or somebody who's like a free agent at the end of the year. But if I could get a significant good player that's in his 20s, yeah, I would make a move. And I think the 49ers ought to really look to do it because they cannot draft with any consistency. I mean, I don't need to do this, but I could take out the John Lynch draft report card and we could go through it with a fine tooth comb.
We've done
it. I could show you 10 misses in the third round or higher. So, you know, Les Snead had this problem. He was hitting, he was missing. He was hitting, he was missing. So what do? They said, screw this. We're trading for Ramsey. We're trading for Stafford. We're trading, you know, we're going to add veterans and we're going to get over the top with some veterans. Well, maybe that's where Lynch is at right now. Maybe they need to, you know, see if they can get over the top with some veterans. I'm not saying trade your first round pick, but
you got to pick a direction.
If Jacksonville is getting tired, if Jacksonville's gotten tired of Brian Thomas, I want Brian Thomas. The 49ers do not have a receiver that's worth a damn. They have guys who are hurt, guys who are old, guys who had a career 3 years ago. They don't have anybody good now. I want somebody good now. They need a big-time receiver. They need a great front seven guy, and they probably could use another corner. And, of course, they need an offensive lineman or two, but that's probably not even in the cards at the trade deadline because they're just not available. So, but, I mean, I would definitely – I wouldn't just punt. I would use this as an opportunity to see if I could, because what happens in the NFL? Teams make good decisions in the offseason because there's no pressure. Teams make really bad decisions in season because there's all this pressure. And so that's where you can trade for Christian McCaffrey. And that's where you can trade for Micah Parsons. And that's where because people have all these pressure points and there's all this shit going on. It's like, I can tell that, like there are some coaches that are very impulsive, and like the Jets, for example, their coach Aaron Glenn is very volatile and very impulsive. And if they suddenly want to trade Quinn and Williams, then do it. Then absolutely do it. Take advantage of some of these impulsive bad decisions that are being out there.
Owners.
If supposedly Jacksonville wants to get rid of Brian Thomas Jr. Brian Thomas Jr. is worlds better than all of the Niner receivers put together. He's having a slump, a sophomore slump, and that's it. It's like this guy was awesome with Mac Jones last year. Go get Brian Thomas. If you can get Brian Thomas, go get Brian Thomas. You don't
especially
have that
when you
right
got
now.
Mac Jones.
And you have Mac Jones. I mean, you have Mac Jones. I mean, if I went up to Mac Jones in the locker room tomorrow and said, Mac, what do you think of Brian Thomas? He'd be like, oh, dude. Oh,
I love that guy.
Oh, are you kidding me? That guy's awesome. He's amazing. Yeah, me and him made beautiful music together last year. It was like 5 weeks in a row that he went over 100 yards and all these people talking about the resurgence and the improvement of Brian Thomas. He was probably was the best rookie receiver in the sport last year. He had almost a 1,300-yard season. He was the third best receiver in football. He's having a sophomore slump, and now Jacksonville wants to get rid of him? absolutely I'd be at that door. And do the Niners is a receiver at the top of their list? No. But guess what? Trading for a great player should be at the top of their list at all times, every year, every day. And he's a great player.
They say, you know, you're not supposed to draft for need. You draft talent. Right. Maybe free agency, you know, should be approached a little bit like that at the same time. He is a talent. But I just think the Niners need to be concerned with other places based on their circumstances and what they have gotten out of a completely unimpressive wide receiver room to this point. It all went bad in Houston. It hasn't been all bad all year. As a matter of fact, the 49ers offense pretty much been chugging along the way it normally does, beyond the running game being a little unimpressive. I'd just be looking defense. I'd be looking defensive line. And it's just sad that you'd have to look at defensive line here when all you've
been doing. Your offense scored 15 yesterday.
Against a really good team that is averaging 14.
Your offense didn't have a first down on 6 of its first 9 possessions.
Wasn't great, Larry. I'm not saying put that in a picture frame, you know. But
I'll say this, if you want to be rosy, here's your rosy stat of the day. Only one of the Niners' next 6 opponents has a winning record. And 4 have a horrendous record.
So why are you flushing this season? That
I wouldn't flush the season. I just wouldn't trade. I wouldn't trade my first or second or third round pick unless I'm getting a difference making player that I control beyond this year. That's all I'm saying.
Larry,
you got to get a difference making player.
All I'm saying is, if you got to get bouncing here in a few minutes, we better start hopping into these supers right here and now, brother. We got a lot of them today.
Yeah. I am jumping on the radio today with Poppin' Silver at 10:50. So what is the time? It's 10:11. Okay, we got a little bit. All right, here, let's hit some. We do have a lot of supers here. 27 supers in the house. All right, let's go to them.
Thank you, everyone.
Right here, we should tell everybody that the super portion of our extravaganza today is brought to you by our good friends at Habas Law. Thank you to Habas Law for being a proud sponsor of the Krug Show. There they are. They will fight to make it right. Habas Law, Omar and Tariq Habas are great guys, and they have a great business. And they're outstanding. They step up big for the community, and they always do. They always step up big for the community. And today's show is sponsored by Habas Law. For more than 40 years, Omar Habas and his son Tariq have been standing up for people right here in Northern California. They're fierce, relentless PI attorneys. They don't back down until justice is done. They're official partners of the Giants, San Jose State, and others. But when you're injured, the insurance companies, the game plan is they try to dodge. These guys don't let them dodge. And it's really as simple as that. So if you need someone in your corner, call the firm the insurance companies hope you never call. And that's Habas Law. They will fight to make it right. Visit them on the web at habaslaw.com, HABBASlaw.com, 1-800-INJURED, Habas Law. They will fight to make it right. And thanks to Habas Law for being a proud sponsor of the Krug Show. All right. We got this one from Cheta Bob 530. Hell.
Yeah, you tune,
NFL game and you watch more ad time than actual football.
Dude, by the way,
if that bugs you, Cheta, makes me laugh just saying that. But if that bugs you, dude, order the NFL Plus. It's like $8 a month. I have it. As soon as the game's over, you can watch a condensed version of the game. Do you want to know how long the game actually is? When you take out everything, the halftime, the timeouts, all the promos, all the ads, all the stoppages, do you know how long it takes me to watch a 49er game?
17, 18 minutes.
Well, more like, you know, depending on the length, of course, but roughly 20 to 25 minutes. Yeah. 20 to 25 minutes to watch an NFL game that you're going to spend 3 hours watching. I wish they had this for college football. College football, I can't. It's college football is like, I don't even know what to say about college
football. College football has to stop this. Clock stops or pauses on every first down to move the chains. That needs to be a running
clock. Could be targeting. Could be. let's disappear for 9 minutes. It could be targeting. And it's like, I mean, seriously, I just, when I'm watching college, I feel like baseball's trying to speed it up. College football's like, we're slowing this shit down. We got this one. Nostradamus. I never bet on the 49ers when they play an AFC team on the East Coast. Tendency to take the day off both as coaches and players.
I'll just say this. I love it. That's a good strategy. Houston is nowhere near the East Coast.
Yeah, but I think it's funny. It's like, you know, there's a map of New York that shows like, you know, everything like west of this tunnel is like the West Coast. You know
exactly.
What I mean? Yeah, it's like it's on the other side of the East Tunnel. Oh, it's West right. Coast.
Yeah, you get off the Tappan Zee Bridge. You're in Omaha. Like
there's the arch. MSQ on the bright side, Niners finally got a pick, LOL, and Brian Robinson Jr. at kick return moving forward. Yes. Also trade on the way this week. Yes.
Well, and look, it's good I think there would definitely Robinson be a trade. Jr. Do something to help this football team. That was the nicest special teams play of the day.
Get him the ball more, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I would, but they don't.
Seriously, they act like he's, you know, persona non grata. Ben underscore Diesel 85. With all these injuries on defense, why is Nick Martin on the shelf? I don't see why he's not on the field at this point.
We talked about it.
You know, and here's the thing. I don't believe that he can't play. It's like the people who have like that, like Dieter's like a big anti Nick Martin guy. He thinks he sucks. I can't sit there and stomach people walking around thinking that they're right when they're so obviously wrong. This guy is absolutely a player, and for whatever reason, he's not on the field right now, but he's got to get on the field. I think we've already seen glimpses of what he is as a player. Have we not? Have we not?
How about this? Who is playing so demonstrably that much better in front of him? He can't get 10 snaps a game.
Right. And it's like, hey, Niners, it can't be both. He can't be shitty and Lynch be great. You know, it's like this was John Lynch's third round pick. All right. So if this guy's shitty, then maybe the guys making the picks aren't good enough. Right. You can't have it both ways. John can't be unassailable and this perfect GM, and your third round pick can't get on the field.
Right.
When
no
you have a need there.
Picks get on the field historically.
You know, come on. I mean, let's be real here. We can't cover everybody and then not play this kid. Mikel Williams equals Solomon Thomas. Come on.
No. We're not there on Mikel Williams. Not even close. Solomon Thomas was easy to identify as, oh, not at all. Doesn't even have the body type, really.
They're totally different players. I mean, Solomon Thomas was a tackle. Here's the thing.
Mikel Williams, 2-3 years from now, could be really special. They just need him to be special now, and he ain't.
Yeah. I mean, in a way, Mikel Williams was a really safe pick because he is very, very athletic. But as far as production, I mean, yesterday there was one play where Stroud ran, and he ran to the defensive right side, and it was Mikel's side, and he was just wired inside, and he didn't get off the block at all. Didn't even make any kind of play on the quarterback at all, and it was his side. Joseph Ehrenberg, lost to the Giants, should equal fire sale, CMC, Trent, etc. They're not doing that, though. Yeah. I do hear you, but I don't think they're doing that. David E., is it possible the Falcons are really a bad team?
No, the Falcons are the Falcons. That's what they are.
Drubbed by the Dolphins, though.
Historically, though, the Falcons have always been like, 1 week, they're really good. Then 3 weeks in a row, they suck. Then they're good for another week. Then 3 weeks in a row. It's just this is what
I think the Falcons are pretty good, actually, to be honest.
They have talent, but they just putting it all together on the same day is tough.
At Dale, and also they didn't have Drake London, and they're kind of a one wide receiver team. You know, that's the other thing. I mean, it's like, who's their other receivers? They, you know, it's like, that's why Drake London, we were debating, hey, will the Niners follow Drake London all over the field? Because there's such a huge disparity between London and their second receiver, and they just cut Ray McLeod. So they really don't have depth at receiver, and they had no London in this game. I think that had a lot to do with it.
I will say this. If the Falcons are a one receiver team with Pearsall's injury right now, the 49ers are a no receiver team.
Yeah. Well, where is Pearsall? Dale says, stop saying Atlanta is good. You saw what Miami did to them. Okay, well, we could say the same. Well, I also saw what they did to Buffalo. So is Buffalo not good? I mean, we can play this game all day.
It's
A, then B, if B, then C, if C, then D, A is better than D.
Not in the NFL, man. Yeah, not in the NFL. It doesn't work like that.
As the old coach would say, Larry, it's the way you play, the day you play. At TGunZ80. Remember when we saw the Colts on the schedule and laughed? Yeah. Yeah. Now we're not laughing anymore. Danny Dimes doing his thing. It's amazing. Lou Anarumo and Danny Dimes. Who saw that coming? Excessive 03. Damon jinxed us by saying this was an okay game to lose because they're an AFC team.
Damon predicted the future. Damon told you that football reality.
You jinxed us. You freaking jinxed us.
Football reality.
How could you do that to us?
I know. Blame Damon. football reality was going to catch up to this. Again, you can dodge football reality until you meet a really good defense. Then that good defense might show you what the situation you really are in. And it was
jinx.
It's my fault, Larry.
Jinx. All right. You got to go high pitch like that. Joseph Ernberg. Haven't beat an AFC team since week four last season. Yeah. Yeah. And yet I would say the NFC is probably the better conference in my opinion, but who knows? I mean, we'll see come playoff time, come Super Bowl time. Dale says, to be honest, guys, I'm not even sure the team got off the plane.
The ambulance, you mean? They don't travel by airplane. They travel by ambulance.
Yeah. PWS, is JJ still playing hurt? I don't know, but it's hurting me to watch. Jake says this was expected. O and D lines are subpar. The defense has been hanging on by a thread the last couple of weeks. Time for Martin to play. Yeah, seriously. Boxing fan times four. How confident, minus the T, are you that the 49ers actually draft a tackle instead of going for a wide receiver? BA may not be here. JJ shouldn't be here. Ricky stays hurt. Well, I'm not. I mean, first of all, how confident am I? It's October 27th. The draft is literally April 27th. I think so. It's a ways away. How confident are you that it's going to be a sunshiny day in July 19th? I'm optimistic. It's usually sunny in July, but
look at it this way. I was incredibly confident that they would prioritize their offensive line in the past draft. They did
right.
Not. And you got Connor Colby in the sixth round. And I got bad news, everybody. Connor Colby's not good yet anyways. I'm not saying
he won't be. I don't know about that. It was seventh round. But, yeah, he's struggling. He's playing. He's hurt. I mean, they're playing a seventh round guard who's not healthy. I'm very confident that the Niners are going tackle in the next draft in the first round. To the point where they have to go tackle and it's unhealthy. Because the reality is you should not have that closed of a mindset coming into the draft process. You should be open-minded, but they're going to have to be closed-minded. And this is how you draft just a good player, not a great player. And they need great players. So I would draft, my mindset would be draft great players. As far as this wide receiver, I'd rather trade for Brian Thomas right now. Than invest another draft pick in a rookie receiver, especially the way rookie receivers fail in the NFL. At GRYMMC29, it was CJ Stroud and good luck. CJ Stroud was not very good the week before, but he looked good.
CJ Stroud returned to the player that everyone was excited about a year ago or 2 years ago this weekend. That's the best he's played in a really long time. He looked good.
He did look good. That's what happens when you play a soft zone. I mean, their offensive line did not allow a sack. It was a first this season. I mean, seriously. They also managed a season high in 475 yards. So what you saw yesterday was not just the Texans. It was the best of the Texans. Barry
McCorker. Barry McCockiner.
Yeah. Come on. Oh, that's just awful. That is just awful.
It's a little bit awful. It's also incredibly clever, and I salute
that's
you.
That's just awful. Join the stream late. Sorry if this was covered, but wanted your thoughts. Would you have gone for two when the score was 16-6? I know it wouldn't have mattered, but it was ripped online for suggesting it.
No, so I would have gone for two only because you're in the game that you're in. And at that point in the game, you hadn't done shit. And like, you got a chance to make this a one possession game at half. Here's the thing, though. Even when that was a one possession late, Larry, I am Mr. Positive during a football game. During my watch parties, I'm saying this is a 60-minute game. Don't complain about how the game's over in the second quarter. I was pretty much saying that game was over in the second quarter yesterday. And when it became a one possession game late, I said, it doesn't matter. This is not a one possession game. On the scoreboard it is, but on the football field, this is not a one possession game at all. The Niners aren't even, they got no shot. And it was bad.
He's saying on the Kittle, on when Kittle scored the touchdown,
right,
should the Niners have gone for a 2-point conversion?
Yes,
there?
I think so. There are, you know, the theory is there's a lot of game left, and so you don't want to start chasing points on the scoreboard, right?
I wouldn't now. I wouldn't go for two in the first half. I'd take my PAT, but you know, I'll tell you where I typically like to go for two is when you're, when you have the kind of drives that Houston put together. When you can put together a 10 play drive, you know, and you got the defense at the end and they're really, really tired. Yeah, I think it's a great opportunity to go for two, but I don't go for two in the first half at the end of a 4-play drive. That's what that was. But, you know, they did do it later in the game after a 12 play drive. And I that to me is the barometer. I'd like to only do it when the defense is tired at the end of a long drive, if possible. Thank you, Barry McCockiner. All right. D Martinez, McKivitz was a passenger that whole game. No, I mean, he just got beat.
There was
one time where Will Anderson jumped off sides, I thought intentionally, just so he could get a hit on Mac Jones. And then he did get a hit on Mac Jones. And they're like, oh, he jumped off sides. Yeah, but, you know, most defensive linemen would trade a smashing hit on the quarterback for an offsides penalty. I almost felt like, you know, I almost felt like Anderson did that one time. Mad 49er fan. The 49ers have squandered away so many first, second, and third round picks for John Lynch not to be on the hot seat. What say you? Yeah, I mean, it's like, bottom line is Kyle Shanahan is a hell of a coach and he's done a really good job pretty much consistently. They've had some really good rosters, but they could have better rosters if they hadn't missed on so many high picks. Solomon Thomas, Jalen Hurd, Dante Pettis, Reuben Foster. We can go down the fucking line. Too many misses too early in the draft, period. I like John Lynch. He's a great face of the franchise. They ought to get somebody who's the director of college scouting for Green Bay and make him the general manager.
Yeah, they should
give him draft control.
Lynch doesn't have to be gone. He doesn't have to be shot into the sun. No. Kick him upstairs, make him the president of blah, 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 blah.
He'd be
blah,
a great
blah.
President.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, is Andrew Luck the president of Stanford football right now? Yeah, he's like the general manager, and he's a great public face of the franchise. Do we really believe that Andrew Luck, who is a quarterback, has awesome personnel evaluation skills? Probably not. They probably have somebody else in there who's handicapping this thing. And I'm not saying that John doesn't have lieutenants. He does. But go get somebody who's absolutely this is what they do. They're not Hall of Fame, this or that from a previous career. This is what they do. They're personnel evaluators. And, you know, go get a Gutekunst. Look at the job Gutekunst is doing with Green Bay. They're loaded. They're absolutely loaded. They're deep. They're talented. They got one of the best rosters in football. Shanahan would win this sixth Lombardi if he had a better roster. I really believe that.
You know what? Here's the thing. You can use all your math models to figure out which team has drafted the best over the last 3 or 4 years. Then identify which team did that, pick their head of college scouting or their most popular regional scout, and triple their salary and bring them to San Francisco.
Right. I mean, I don't even think you'd have to do that. Just the opportunity alone would be incredible. Joseph Ernberg, West inactive, Martin a ghost, Watkins two plays. I know. It's like the Niners act like it's a freaking street gang. You know, what do you have to be? You got to have seniority. It's all about seniority.
Blood in, blood out.
CJ West has gone. I mean, CJ, we're supposed to believe that CJ West can't play? Is that what we're supposed to be told that CJ West can't play and that Martin can't play and that Watkins can't play? They can all play, but they're not playing, you know, and it's time to put these guys out there. You drafted them. Stop covering them. Put them out there. Either succeed or fail. It's reminding me of Trey Lance all over again. It's like, well, Trey's not good enough to even get on the field. Well, that's a fail on you then. You know, I mean, wear it. D. Martinez, two new nicknames for Brown. Either we go 90s Two Live Crew,
Doo-Doo Brown,
or Missile Brown, because you can't spell missile without spelling miss first. He had a couple big-time plays, but he also had a coverage bust, and so did Mustafa. Mustafa had a coverage bust. The Niner play at safety yesterday was atrocious. Atrocious.
Bad day.
Really not good for either guy.
The doghouse, are you getting back on the field at all?
I think they just are slowing it down for him. Based on the way those guys played, I'd say he'd be back on the field next week. Joseph Ehrenberg, sick and tired of the ghost stats Mikel is praised for. Yeah, enough of this. You know, if you got to look super hard and create all kinds of stats, you're full of shit and you're wrong. Baby Radiance, let's be honest. Mikel Williams can't rush the quarterback. He's not a pass rusher on the outside. He's an interior pass rusher. But if you want an outside pass rusher, right, you're not getting it. Sean Shepard, does K secretly do drugs? Who's K? Me?
I don't know.
Kyle? Is that Kyle?
Kyle or Kruger?
It's either me. I don't secretly do anything.
Larry does drugs out in the open. There's no secrets.
Yeah, there's no secrets. It says 1 week genius. Oh, so they can't be me. He's talking about genius. There's nothing.
Kyle. It's got to be about Kyle.
One week genius. Then it looks like his wife built the game plan seriously bad, and ham salad looked like Legion of Shit bend defense something. Ham salad, is that Robert Sala?
I don't know.
There's so many rips in there, Sean. I love it, but no, I don't think Kyle secretly does drugs.
It's like
I'm not privy to any of that.
A code we need to crack, as much as it is a super chat. Thank you, Sean.
what's Lucky Logger? Remember Lucky Logger caps?
Oh, the clue under the cap?
Yeah, it's like, oh, it means riding a bike at night is, you know, it's like, what? I had buddies who were like idiots, but man, they were like AP Lucky Logger. Anthony Catania's in the house. And of course, check out Sharp Corners Sports Cards and Collectibles. They're at 205 Cypress Avenue in Pacific Grove, California, on the Monterey Peninsula. And Anthony is at 831-521-5264. Give him a call right now. Operator standing by. Anthony donates $19.99. He says, Baltimore broke this offense 2 years ago. Since that game, this offense has been flat. I'm more worried about this offense not scoring more than two touchdowns a game than a young defense who has been holding teams to under 30. Yeah, I mean, the defense couldn't do anything yesterday as far as they just were too soft and terrible tackling in there. But the defense has got a lot of youth, a lot of injuries, a lot of fatigue, and I think that's what we're looking at there. The Niners' lack of offense, I mean, you know, I guess what? You know, they're basically McKivitz just got owned by Will Anderson, and Will Anderson blew up, I would say, at least six or seven plays. A lot of them were key plays. So,
you know, you're talking, so he blew up six or seven plays.
Yeah.
Which sounds like something that is very, you know, recoverable from, and it shouldn't really, you know.
But that's a high percentage of the Niners' total plays.
That's the thing. Less yesterday, the 49ers ran. What was the number real quick here? Total plays. 44 plays.
So yeah, 44 plays.
Seven of 44 plays. That's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like 20% of their plays were blown up by Will Anderson, who was awesome.
It was awesome yesterday. Just awesome. And by the way, the elbow brace where it like. It, it just makes you look like RoboCop. You look badass with. I would wear an elbow brace whether I needed it or not if I were a football player. You just look like a badass with it.
Why is Damon doing a show with an elbow brace? You kidding me? The way the super chats come flying.
I'm intimidated.
Fuji Simeon says, RIP Carol Davis, the wife of Al Davis.
Yeah, she passed away yesterday. Rest in peace. By the way, even sadder than that, based on age, 41-year-old Nick Mangold passed away yesterday. His kidneys failed him. You could tell that he was reaching a desperate place and trying to get some treatment there, because I saw like something that was put out on social media a couple weeks ago where Nick Mangold was, you know, asking.
I saw that too.
Jets fans and Ohio State alumni, like, anybody got a spare kidney? And unfortunately, the young man died, and he was beloved. He was absolutely beloved. And for the Jets to actually win yesterday, sometimes sports does sprinkle a little magic around, and that was nice.
Yeah, I mean, just the old saying, man. Billy Joel sang about it, only the good die young. Only the good die young. And Nick Mangold was a great player. Great player at Ohio State, great player for the Jets. Him and DeBrickashaw Ferguson anchored that Jets line for about a decade. And very sad, very, very sad. RIP Nick Mangold for sure. D Martinez, what's the deal with Jackson Powers Johnson and the Raiders? Well, I don't know. I mean, from what I saw last week, he had been benched, and there was speculation that they might move him. And that, like for the 49ers, like whether the Niners are going anywhere or not this year, I think it would be worth a call to the Raiders for Jackson Powers Johnson. I mean, you know, offensive linemen can come in the draft, but they don't have to. I mean, the Eagles won the Super Bowl last year, guys, with Mekhi Becton as a key cog on their line at right guard. He had been kicked to the curb by the Jets, you know, and nobody wanted him. He was persona non grata. So, but the Eagles said, hey, he's not a tackle. He's a guard, and let's put him in our system and let's see. And they rode his power on the right side of that line to a Super Bowl. So, Jackson Powers Johnson is about 330 pounds. He's a really good player. He can play center. He can play either guard spot. Obviously, he's worn out his welcome with the Raiders because he got benched. And I would definitely call.
He's got serious concussion problems. Like every third practice, he is seeing somebody, and he's getting the follow the eyes check, and he's a little fragile.
Well, that could be your answer right there.
Yeah,
that could be your answer right there. Sonia Leary, you still think Mikel was the right choice? I don't. 11th pick should be a game changer. Love your show. I never liked the pick because I thought it was a safe pick from the standpoint of his athleticism. And then I like the fact that they have an interior rusher. And I think Mikel is going to be one of those picks that when you're leaning on him to lead the charge, I think you're going to be really disappointed. But when you can build up that line around him and he's allowed to just be a cog in the wheel, not the whole damn wheel, I think then you're going to be really glad that you have him. He's got a lot of talent, and he's a good interior rusher, albeit an undersized interior rusher. But for the 11th pick in the draft, no, I did not like that pick. Tyler Warren is going to be an all-pro tight end. Jaylon Walker, I think, is going to be a star, defensive lineman slash linebacker. Egbuka is going to be a star. Jadai Barron's going to be a star. I mean, I just thought, if you were going to me, you needed to go offensive line. I would have moved back a few spots and gone with Donovan Jackson, who went to Minnesota in the 20s, something like that. I just didn't love it. I didn't love that pick. I wasn't in love with it, but they were in kind of a weird spot too, because Membu went 7, so he was gone. Banks went 9, so he was gone. So you had two tackles that you really liked, and you had Will Campbell go 4, so he was gone. So I think they were thinking tackle, and then they didn't trade up for Membu. In hindsight, that would have been the move to make, but who was trading down? You know, maybe you could have gotten Cleveland to trade down. But the Niners at 11 went with a very safe, athletic, strong, versatile defensive lineman.
And he might not be bad. I mean, here's a couple years from now.
He'll be fine once they have better players around him and he's just part of the mix. But as far as he's never, ever, ever going to be that awesome double digit 12 sack defensive end, I don't see it. I just don't see it. If it happens, you can call me up and tell me I was wrong. I didn't see it then. I don't see it now. I do like him as an interior rusher. But right now the Niners need some edge rushers.
Right.
And he's unfortunately not able to.
Well, and the number one reason to have drafted the guy was he sets this edge, but he's an interior rusher. So fuck, that doesn't make sense, does it?
Well, no, but I mean, they have a real plan for him, which is first and second down outside and third down inside. And it's fine. He is fine in his role. Let's not analyze it. It's not worth analyzing any more than it is. I mean, he's not an edge rusher per se. He doesn't have moves. He just doesn't. He doesn't have an array of moves. He doesn't have any moves. But he's also really strong, really, really tough, and can play inside. And I think you're going to see him put on about 15 pounds of good muscle. So I think when, like, a year and a half from now, when Mikel starts rounding into exactly the form that they envisioned, I think he's going to be more like 275, 280. And I think he's going to be a very solid NFL career. I just don't think he's ever going to be a pro bowler, or he may be a pro bowler. I don't think he's ever going to be like that all pro 10, 12 sack guy. Don't believe
Let's see what he does in his career against stopping the run. Let's see what comes.
There's a lot of good there. There's a lot of good traits.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Damon.
No. I was thinking, you know, and it's funny. Somebody just said here, I want to bring him up. It wasn't a super, but I'll make him a part of it. Chris, he'll be Eric Armstead. Maybe.
Eric Armstead was, you know, pretty damn good.
He was damn good. But again, a gaudy stat compiler at all.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think Mikel's going to be solid, just not spectacular. Fuji, Simeon, Boo, Dodgers, and Yamamoto. Giants couldn't sign him.
Dude, we're talking about the Japanese Greg Maddux. This guy's putting up complete games in the postseason. He was fantastic awesome
the other day. Frank Mello, Ricky Pearsall needs to feel the urgency and get out there this week. I know you don't want to rush anyone back, but it's go time. Got to start getting the quality players back. I hear you. I mean, you don't want to force anybody on the field before their time. That's for sure. 49ers squadron.
49 IRs. IRs. Yeah, it's not bad.
PWS. We need this Krug in the media and locker room. We need this Krug in the media and locker rooms. LOL. Oh, we need this Krug.
There we go.
You're saying that you want me to be angry all the time and pissed and show up at the presser going, what the fuck? Could you imagine if I start every press conference with, Kyle, I got a question. What the fuck?
No, here's what you need to do. You need to take just take all the anger out of it and just say, excuse me, Kyle, what WTF? The fuck? What the fuck? Huh?
Kyle, see, I like CJ West. Why don't you? I like Jordan Watkins. Why don't you? I like Nick Martin. Why don't you? If you guys don't like these guys, then why do you like Lynch? Because he picked them all. So if either you're picking the wrong guys or you're not playing the right guys. Either one. Something's gotta go. Slow Civic, which is a great handle. Did Damon beat his wife after this loss? Damon does not
what,
beat
huh?
his wife.
Where did that come
what
from?
What kind of a loaded question is that? That's like the loaded question. Are you still beating your wife? Excuse me, what?
By the way, I'm just going to tell you right now, Jillian would hold her own with any dude in this chat. Jillian is going to out bench press you out. Dude, my wife is a powerhouse. She will fuck you up.
Dude,
I'm not going to get in a fight with Jillian.
Oh my God. She'll sweep. She, have you ever seen the last scene of Karate Kid where he said sweep the leg? I mean, that's going to be Jillian on Damon. If he comes at her, I mean, she could sweep that leg.
CrossFit. She is yoked right now. Jillian. Right,
exactly. You know, the medical issues Damon's had. I mean, she could take him down.
No, totally. She'd knock me right over. Once we went to groundwork, I would have to like use some jujitsu on her, you know, yeah.
don't let the grappler ever take you to the ground. Fuji Simeon, off topic, your thoughts now on the Vitello hiring. Okay, I've had more time to think about it. I don't love it, but here's the thing about it. It's an outside the box thought, and the guy's had a lot of success, and let's give it a shot. Let's give it a shot. That's really good. I don't have a strong. I wanted to see a more experienced guy, but I'm not losing my mind over it. It just seemed to me to be a little bit of a risk for a franchise that rarely takes risks, and it seems kind of odd that you're chasing down the Dodgers, who are like this freaking nature force, and yet you're going to go with like this outside the box thinking. It's like it just seems like it's either boom or bust. And bust is got at least a 35% chance of hitting.
If he's Mr. Energy waking up the sleepiest clubhouse and dugout in baseball,
yeah,
will maybe be a good thing. But then it's going to turn into baseball. Here's the thing. My buddy Tom Ackerman in St. Louis knows his father, says that he comes from local baseball royalty in St. Louis. The Vitello family is a big deal there. So maybe. Who knows? Again, we'll see.
Fuji Simeon says Mangold on the O-line would have been awesome. Yeah, Mangold is a great player. Dale says redo the draft with the best available. Are we better? Yes, I think so. I think best available. You would have gone with Tyler Warren at tight end. You would have had George Kittle and Tyler Warren right there. You've got the makings of a really good offense. Rob C says, hey, 99 cents just because.
Thank you, Rob.
Slow Civic. Damon looks like the. Come on.
Dude, it's.
Why are people? Don't take shots. Don't take shots at Damon. This is.
By the way, here's the one thing.
Wake Up with Larry and Damon. Do not take shots at Damon or me. Or our wives.
Or look at it this way. Take all the shots you want, but give the super on my side of the channel, you fuck.
Yeah. I got the $2 and he got the rip. What's up with that?
The hell's that?
That ain't right. All right. That is going to do it for us. I'm 4 minutes from now going to join Greg and Greg on KMBR for a quick segment rehashing yesterday's loss. So look for that. Damon, what do you got cooking the rest of the day?
Show coming up at 11, of course. We're going to get underway. Not only are we going to go over, you know, the horrific game that we all just watched, but some very interesting things happening with the Warriors. Do you know that Steph Curry is leading this team in blocks right now? Is that a good thing or a bad thing? We'll talk
Probably not good.
We got Warriors and Grizzlies tonight. Back-to-back games coming up for the Warriors. And look, nobody likes Brian Kelly, and he got fired at LSU.
Saw that. A&M, thank you.
But his resume if dudes are getting fired for this resume, man, it ain't easy being a coach, and it's amazing. Is there any – you can't feel bad for a guy who gets fired and still gets to keep $50 million.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's insane.
Oh!
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. $50 million.
Game 3 of the World Series tonight. So we'll talk a little bit about all that. And then there you go. That's what's coming up at 11. Larry, always a pleasure. Thanks to everyone for watching today. Like and subscribe on your way out if you haven't already. We thank you for watching. That was a bad one. Again, burn the tape. Go to New York, beat the Giants. We'll take it from there.
Yeah, thanks to our sponsors, Pig in a Pickle, Sharp Corners, Claw Daddy Arcades. Great follow on Instagram at @claw_daddy_arcades. Thanks to Sleeper. Thanks to Habas Law. And thanks to all of you guys. Have a great Monday. Go Niners. Peace.